Hey, welcome back to the Bakesh Podcast. This is Don. I'm here with Scott.
Hi, this is Scott.
And welcome aboard. You're actually here for our first official podcast. So if for some reason you're listening to this in the future, this was our first one really ever recorded.
Yep, and we are starting off with the book. Yes, wait for it. Wait for it. And it's probably in the title of the podcast that you just clicked on.
Most likely.
It is Deuteronomy 1.
Yay!
Yeah, we need. I wish I felt like we
need
a little button that has like a shh or something.
Yeah.
Things like that do. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
I'll see what I can come up with.
Okay, good deal.
That'll be great. We'll have a board operator.
And when you say board operator, you mean you? Or you can say, hey, push this button. I got a button.
Right. Oh, that's true. I am the board op in this case.
Yeah.
So if the audio quality sucks, that's me.
But we have some microphones on the way. We're working on our tech.
Yeah. 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 So Scott right now is using a really sweet microphone. I'm using kind of a janky one. And that will change some days very soon. It's probably at my house waiting for me.
Yeah. Amazon?
No, eBay.
Oh.
I found that mic on eBay and some guy was taking offers.
Okay.
And I offered him significantly less, it's a cheap, awesome mic. About $10 less than it was on Amazon, and I got it. So
nice.
But I saw they had sold like 600 of them.
Okay.
So they probably fell off the back of a truck, and we're starting Deuteronomy with stolen goods.
But you don't know that.
True.
And there is a sacrifice for sin, sin offering that you don't know about, right?
We haven't gotten to that part of the book yet.
I think that's Leviticus anyway. We missed that.
Well, we'll have to see what the rehash of the law is.
That is true.
Right. So, yeah, we're on Deuteronomy. And just so you know, as the listener, we don't have our format nailed down. We don't have a structure nailed down. We're just going to go through, have the discussion. And you might notice things in this podcast are different. If you've been listening, and like I said, you go back through an archive and found this one and started listening or what have you. So just enjoy our growth, if you're a later listener, and if you're not and this is your first one, or you're listening on the launch day,
grow with us.
Yeah. So we're going through Deuteronomy. We've put in some pre-work. We've been studying. I can't speak for Scott, for at least a month.
I've been studying,
I mean,
periodically
for this specifically, not okay. I've gone through Deuteronomy before.
Yeah, so I'd say for this one, I've been studying for a little bit over a week. But I've been going through Deuteronomy as a book, just reading through it a little bit before starting the actual study that we've been going for this podcast. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah. That to say, through my intense study for the podcast over a month, I've only gotten up to chapter 3, because I'm taking lots of notes and it takes time to stop and write and then check a source or whatnot. So, I just got to keep plugging through on that part of it because it is difficult to just say, hey, we're going to do this and boom, we're good to go. And I know everything about dude. It's like, I don't. So we've got to keep growing through it. So if you're listening, which would be the only way you'd hear me say this, as dumb word there. If you're listening,
yep.
You just know that we're taking our time. We're crawling through it. We're not going to blast through a section because it's easy or hard or because it's difficult, or we're not going to skim over something. We're taking our time just like we would expect you to take your time. And if you're listening to us as a, you know, kind of a resource, take your time with us. No big deal.
And we're saying we're doing Deuteronomy 1 today. However, Deuteronomy 1 may last today, and it may last 3 weeks.
But we'll definitely let you know.
Yes. Hopefully we'll know by the time we get to Deuteronomy 2.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. So we're notoriously slow. And just to break up this first chapter of Deuteronomy, we're going to read the first few verses. We're going to discuss what we've learned. We're going to take you through some of the stuff that we know. And then if we say, hey, this podcast is getting too long, which, you know, we've already done 4 minutes of intro time, we will take a break there and start up with the next verses in the next podcast. Or if we're like, hey, we're cruising through it at a pretty good pace, no need to slow down. We'll just read the next section of verses for you. All that to say, kind of a quick background on Deuteronomy. It's part of what's called the Pentateuch. And the Pentateuch means one book in five parts. And the Pentateuch is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So when you're looking at your Bible through the year plan, everybody gets through Genesis. Everybody loves Exodus. And most people say, man, Leviticus.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Leviticus. Oh.
And if you powered through Leviticus and you now know how to build your own tabernacle, well, you started learning that in Exodus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to Numbers.
But actually, Leviticus really is kind of a cool book when you don't look at it as just... When you look at the heart of what's being communicated, it is pretty good. But unless you get to that part, oh yeah.
Whew. Yeah, you're like the laws and I have to sprinkle blood on what and why can't I eat crayfish?
Yeah,
and
I don't know. It gets pretty violent too, though. I'm like, whew, that poor animal.
There's a lot of you don't boil a goat in its mom's milk. Mm-hmm. But we're not here to talk about political laws.
Yet. I'm sorry, yes.
No, that's okay. Then you get to Numbers. It's census. It's numbers with narrative in it. So it's, and the tribe of Asher numbered X, hundreds of thousands of people, and they had children and women and goats. And then this tribe had blah. And then it's like, and then the snakes came out and bit everybody. And
however, as we get into Deuteronomy, Numbers is going to be an important book for us to look at. And we're not going to look at it in details, but some of the decisions that were made in the early part of Numbers, and yes, what happened through all of Numbers, is at least going to impact the beginning of Deuteronomy and really moving into the Promised Land.
So we could, in a sense, say Numbers is where people messed up.
Yes.
or at least the document... Well, they really messed up in Exodus.
Did they stop messing up?
Yeah, so they never really...
Wait, I'm still working through the Bible. I mean, I'm Revelation. Are we done messing up yet?
No, but the good thing is Jesus comes and interrupts it all.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Spoiler. so we've gone past all those into Deuteronomy. And part of the reason is, one, we are doing the Deuteronomy is not necessarily a well-traveled book. And a lot of people, like we are kidding, but a lot of people stop the Bible reading plans before they ever get to it. Mm-hmm. Two, it's had a profound impact on our lives, just looking through and then kind of remembering what's going on. And then finally, I don't know if it was Christopher Wright that said it or if I read it somewhere else. Christopher Wright is one of the commentators that we have looked to through our study. And he makes a great, or he wrote a great book about Exodus, or about Deuteronomy that we'll have in the show notes for you if you want to check it out. I think you can get it on the Kindle version for a couple of bucks. You can get the print version used for $10 or so. So we'll include the name of that book. But he calls it the Romans, I'm pretty sure it's him, calls it the Romans of the Old Testament. Romans being a pinnacle of a book for the New Testament where Paul lays out a lot of what our hearts need to be molded towards and, you know, what God calls us to and has called us out of. Deuteronomy is kind of the same reflection looking back in the Old Testament. And so it's a shame that a lot of people don't get to it.
And I also looked at, or I was reading one of the commentaries I was looking at by Warren Wiersbe. Yeah, Wiersbe. You can pronounce that however you want.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Right. he actually said, quote, and part of his commentary, he said, Jesus quoted more from Deuteronomy than from any Old Testament book. It was the book he used when Satan tempted him in Matthew and when his enemies questioned him. And so basically, Deuteronomy just has a lot of... If you're reading the New Testament, it definitely kind of helps out with understanding what Jesus is talking about and what some of the other New Testament authors were talking about. I don't know if we've talked about it in the first podcast, but
the intro.
Yeah, in the intro podcast. But it was one of those where I love the New Testament and I love Jesus and I think he's incredibly awesome. But the more that I understand the Old Testament, the much more cooler Jesus is than I originally thought. And I think Deuteronomy can be one of those books that might be able to help us see that.
Yeah. So last housekeeping note, when we talk about commentaries and study helps, there's a few main ones that we've used so far, and there's more that we may use in the future. We are both working out of the one by Christopher J.H. Wright. We both have a copy of that. So that kind of keeps us on the same page, and we may have discovered different things. And all commentary is a book that looks verse by verse and says, hey, this might be a link between Old Testament, New Testament passage, or this might clarify a cultural idea that was going on at the time, or maybe clear up some, or give some synonyms for like a Hebrew word that didn't translate as well in English, or might help us with the geography of a region, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what a commentary is. I'm using, who's the guy? The Wing Chun?
Warren Weserby.
Yeah, Warren Weserby is a commentary that Scott's using. I'm using another one that is by, I think it was Daniel or Michael Grisanti. I should have looked it up because I know that Tremper Longman was the main editor, and Tremper Longman is a pretty big authority on the OT. He does a lot of work for Zondervan. And I used a couple of other books by him that are called introductions. Introductions are like very small commentaries. They give you an introduction to the book, maybe give you some background. I use them to kind of jog my memory.
That's kind of what the Warren Weserby one is he's got a series of Old Testament, and it's much less, the Christopher Wright one is much thicker than this one.
Yeah.
And as I say much, much thicker, I'm just looking at the Amazon pages online 'cause I got it on Kindle.
The ones I got by Tremper Longman are about as thick as the commentary I have that was edited by him, but it contains the entire Old Testament. And this book is, the one sitting on my table, it's probably around 800 pages, but it includes Numbers through Ruth. But the introduction, which is probably not as thick as that one, is probably, I would probably say it's probably 400 to 600 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have another one by Lesore and Hubbard, which I haven't used yet, but I probably will in the future. But we'll put all that in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you about that. So there's a variety of things that you can do to help study the Old Testament. You can get a commentary. I recommend going through the text first, reading it, wrestling with it. Don't get your helps until you've read it. If you can read the whole book, read the whole book. If you want to take it like maybe a chapter by chapter or heading by heading before you break out the commentary, I'm fine with that, but I prefer to try and read it even a couple of times, the whole book, before I break out the helps.
Hmm.
But they're great. Don't take every commentary as awesome. Not all of them are great. The ones we recommend here are obviously ones that we've gone through and we recommend. Some out there are just crazy. They might not have put in the work, or they might not have the scholars behind it to help you out. Like Matthew Henry's commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. You might have gotten one in a set as a gift before you left for college or something. Decent commentary, but it definitely doesn't have the work put into it as, say, Christopher Wright's, who I'm becoming a big fan of.
Right. And it's one of those that the commentaries can be used to really help you ask more questions, to think through the text. I really like to use commentaries a lot for just context, because my students and my wife, for some odd reason, likes to go ahead and tell me I'm old, which I'm really not that old. I'm like really young, and then Don, if I'm old, he's old.
Yeah, we're 6 months apart, like on the nose.
Yeah, absolutely. And so
you are 6 months older.
Yes. Yeah. No, wiser. Wiser.
Oh, sorry. Six months wiser. Yes.
And so it's one of those that I wasn't around the time during the time of Moses and Abraham and Jesus and all of that. So I do have to rely on commentaries for understanding context at times like that. But many times they can offer insight as well. And a lot of times I like to just take that insight, and I like to pray through it and pray through what God spoke to me through Scripture, and just try and understand God's word and help God teach me more about Him and how I should live and be obedient. And
yeah, and this Christopher Wright commentary, last thing I'll say on commentaries, okay, then we can actually get into that. You introduced me to him, to the commentary. I was prompted to buy another book by him because of the commentary. I haven't started it yet because I'm going through Deuteronomy with a fine-tooth comb, which I'm not mad at in any way. But I'm also reading another book really short one that I don't. Anyway, this one is what I would call pastoral. Some commentaries, like the one by Tremper Longman, is freaking academic. Here's the Hebrew word. Here's the geography. Here's what this could have meant in this context. Christopher Wright is blowing my mind by saying stuff that we will reveal as we go along.
Yes.
I will try and cite him legitimately, and I am overly pleased with this commentary, and I can wholeheartedly recommend it. And, and the pastoral aspect will take us out of academic seminary study and put us into, oh Lord, I am a sinner, save me. You are wonderful. So it is, I'm all warm and fuzzy talking about it. So let's get into the text. Cool. Scott, do you want to read those first four verses, and then we will kind of talk about the notes we've taken?
Really? You give me all the difficult words?
I think dizahabab is an easy word to pronounce.
Okay, that's fair. All right, then let me go ahead and try it. All right, so I'm going to try and read and talk into a microphone.
Yeah.
This is new to me.
Go for it.
So these are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. It is the 40th year on the first day of the 11th month. Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and in the Edrei. Yes, I tried studying Hebrew at one time.
The one thing I can say is
I'm a dropout.
Is it's Kadesh Barnea.
That's what I said.
That's the only. No, you said
don't that rewind.
No, yeah, a lot of. I was just like, I don't know what any of that means. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, I'm.
There used to be a book, an old friend and pastor of ours, Jim Holland, had called How to Pronounce Hebrew Words or Names or something.
I might have had that one too. I can't find it. I was looking for it a couple weeks ago, and I used to have one, and it was totally a cheat. And sometimes I'll cheat by like using the Bible app and just hear what he says and then just copy off him.
Hey, I just want to say, Og, the king of Bashan, that's an easy one.
Yes.
He's the OG Og. He's like,
Yeah.
Augie. Like, who's the dude from Foggy. Daredevil, the lawyer?
Foggy? Yeah, that's Foggy. That's it. I was like, why does that sound familiar? Yep.
He was the king of Bashan. Who knew?
Not that I'm saying you should watch Daredevil, the Marvel thing on Netflix.
Unless you're over 18 and you can handle blood, and then and you like action and good story.
Well, and then repent later.
You know what? That's a different podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
There's worse in the Bible than Daredevil.
That is true. That is true.
So let's kind of look through. I actually put my notes, and I was talking to Scott about this before the show. I'm pretty sure it was Christopher Wright. It's the one note I didn't cite in my binder because I wasn't worried about citing him at the time. I didn't realize it. Hey, I should probably do that. These are the words that Moses spoke. Is a common phrase or term used in a lot of the other prophetic books of the Old Testament, which also, outside of Isaiah and maybe a couple of the shorter ones, like get overlooked a lot. But it basically starts out by establishing the words of Moses as being authoritative, which I thought was pretty good, because later in Deuteronomy, I believe they mentioned that there was not a prophet like Moses until Jesus, basically. Nobody came with that kind of authority basically. So Moses gets a pretty high billing, and it's established from the start of the book.
And it's one of those that we also kind of get context as to our setting, so where we're at, who's speaking. So we already have authority to Deuteronomy and why it is that we should pay attention. And I think the New Testament multiple times says that Moses, when it comes to people, he's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about Moses being the one that's speaking, then I think we get kind of a good idea of why we should listen. And then it kind of gives us a setting here as well as to where we're at, and will soon kind of give us direction as to where we're going as well.
Yeah, indeed. Term is Beyond the Jordan in the Wilderness. One other thing I was reading a bit about, I didn't get too far in, and Hebrew scholars correct me if I'm butchering this. The word Deuteronomy, it actually means like these are the words. Like basically the first lines of the first few words of the book are these are the words. And it got kind of mistranslated to mean the second law. And so now we accept both. So Deuteronomy basically means these are the words of the second law. And I was reading a little bit into that. I didn't get too far into that study, that's basically what Deuteronomy is. So if you're ever like, what the heck is a Deuteronomy? It's basically the first words of the book. And we'll talk about the whole second law thing later, because that's kind of another discussion. It's the same law told a second time. But mm-hmm. Did you have any, you were looking at notes?
No, I was right. Quickly looking at something and then I got sidetracked. So nope, we're good.
Yeah, all right. So what are you going to say? We're in the wilderness.
We're in the wilderness. We're in the desert. And have we found out where we're going yet? Sometimes I get mixed up as where we're at.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything to say about the at least where in the wilderness?
The word, I don't know if it's used here, but the word is typically Negev.
Mm-hmm.
And Negev basically means wasteland.
Okay.
It's technically uninhabitable, which I think... I read shows God's provision. Israel is in an uninhabitable wilderness, a place where people don't go, don't survive, but they've obviously made it 40 years.
Mm-hmm. So we're 40 years out of Egypt, ultimately.
So 40 years after the whole Exodus, Moses, throw down your staff, Moses, part the Red Sea, take us to the other side. We're 40 years after all that.
Yeah, which I think it was Christopher Wright that said it's about an 11-day journey from...
That says from verse 2.
Verse 2, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, basically, we're talking about what should have only taken about 11 days from where they were at ended up taking a 40-year journey. And the mountain we're talking about, we're actually talking about Mount Sinai. So a lot of people might be like, well, man, I've never heard of that kind of stuff.
Oh, like Mount Seir?
Yeah, but many people have probably heard Mount Sinai. So that's kind of the mountain that we're talking about.
So our journey is, they're basically somewhere between, they're in the wilderness, beyond the Jordan, getting ready to enter the land that God gave to them. So they've been wandering around place to place, picking up camp, setting down camp. Out there basically is a nation on the move. So ideally what you would do is look at, a large city full of people that instead of building concrete skyscrapers and setting things up, were living in tents. And when they were instructed to move, they would pack everything up and then move. And in some cases they would go out into battle, and they would get into fights, and which we read a little bit like how they defeated the Amorites in particular cases, and so on and so forth. This was a group of people millions, that would pick up, move, set down camp, stay there a while, pick up, move, set down camp. But they were not allowed, and we'll get into more of that later, they were not allowed to go into the land that God promised them. So they're stuck out there. And basically until the first generation dies off, because
mm-hmm.
God locked them out.
So the current generation that Moses is specifically speaking to now is not the same people that came out of Egypt. In fact, it's the next generation. However, he does speak to these people like they participated in the actual events that kept them out of the promised land in the first place.
Yeah, there's definitely that. Here's kind of the big Bible word is that covenantal relationship. So they were as Hebrews or as Israelites born, and the males were circumcised as part of the covenant, saying, hey, you're part of the same family. So they do not get away with saying, well, that was my parents that did that, a lot of the same expectations and the same blessings and same curses are falling onto them because they are part of that same family. So a covenant being basically like a hardcore promise that is not as easy to break. So we often compare covenants as marriage, for better or for worse. Both people are 100% in a marriage. The same way with a covenant people, they are 100% in. And not only are they 100% in the family, God is 100% in the family. So there's all these promises and intertwinings that we'll work through in Deuteronomy, Old Testament in general. But this group does not get away with like, oh, that was my dad that did it. Because they're part of that same covenant.
Right.
So they got to share that responsibility.
Yep, absolutely.
A couple of things that kind of stood out in those first two verses or so, and I was reading once again, I'm throwing a lot of credit back to my man, Christopher J.H. Wright, and you're probably like, why am I listening to the podcast? I can listen to his book. Well, because, I don't know, you didn't buy the book, and this is free.
He's smarter than we are by far.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We just are trying to learn and talk through it. So, I mean, we do, though, highly encourage you, pick up the book.
Yeah.
I mean, other commentaries as well, but from what we've experienced so far, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And one thing that he pointed out that I really liked was he's talking about Israel's in the wilderness and just paralleling it to, like, that's where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as Christians, have not entered into the promised land. We have Jesus. We know that upon our death or upon his return, we are going to be in paradise. We're going to be with him. We are going to be recipients of the promise. But right now we're in the same position as the children of Israel. So we are in the wilderness and God is providing for us while we wander around. And what Christopher J.H. Wright puts out there is they squandered 40 years. It was supposed to be an 11-day journey, and then they wandered around for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that same call comes to us is we need to be careful not to squander our time here.
Mm-hmm. Which it'll be interesting because really, even in chapter one, which we probably won't get to today, but the second part of chapter one almost made me laugh a whole lot because they made a decision. And then after they make a decision, God disciplines, and then they're like, well, and I don't want to spoil it anymore, but I was like, I laughed because I was like, my kids would do that. And then I was like, crap, I would do that. Yeah. I was like, all right. So there's definitely a bunch of relatable things that we're going to be able to get into, especially when we're talking about relationship and we're talking about us as God's people and God himself. So, well, do you have anything more to say about the first four verses, or do we want to kind of...
Just really quickly, kind of on that same... we'll get into verse 4 in a second. I guess we can kind of talk a little bit about the battles. But before that, just in that moment, I was really thinking a lot. I probably spent a lot of time, or probably the majority of my time after I read that section, trying to think of, like, what does it mean, or what is it like, or how are we potentially squandering our time here. And some of the things that, like, kind of came back as conviction for me, and we talked about it last week a little bit, was, like, you know, trolling through Facebook. It's an okay thing. It can be a good thing. You can communicate with friends. You can, you know, pimp out your podcast. You can show pictures of your family and friends to long lost people that, not lost, long distance people. But then the next thing you know, you've scrolled through your social media for 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
It sucks my life. I was like, I'll just open it up. And then 20 minutes later, half hour, I was like, crap.
But how many of us give the excuse, like, I don't have time to read the first four verses of Deuteronomy or the first chapter? To read the first chapter, you can read it in 5 minutes if you're average, 10 minutes if you're a slow reader. Mm-hmm. The first chapter.
Yeah.
So in a quarter of the time that I have spent trolling through social media, I could have read a whole chapter of Deuteronomy instead of saying, I don't have time. I don't have time to get into God's word. So that's like a minimum squander. I tried to think about other things, just even like serving in my church. I don't have time to serve in my church, but can I do something in 20-minute blocks? Mm. if I take 1 hour, so if I say, forget you, Facebook, for 4 sessions of scrolling through and looking at other people's lives, I could go do 1 hour of service at my church. I could do 1 hour of getting to know my neighbor.
Well, I was actually, so I was struggling for a while, and I wanted to give God the first of my day. So what I did is I'd wake up and I'd try and give God the first of my day. And what I found out is within 5 minutes, I was asleep.
The first of your day was awesome.
Right. Then I was like, okay. I was like, all right, I'll just pretend I was deep in prayer. And then I'd do it again. So I was like, okay. So then I was like, well, when I work out first thing in the morning, then that wakes me up and I'm good to read and I'm good to pray. But then, you know, someone had brought up, well, is that really giving God the first of your day? And that makes sense that I'm giving God the first best part of my day. But then I realized what I was doing when I was first getting up and just starting to wake up to go work out is I would open up the news, I'd open up the weather, and...
No, wait. I do the weather before I work out because I run outside.
That's true.
No, I'm just messing.
Well, I do too, but, you know, even still... you know, I'll try and figure out whether I'm going outside, but then the little button, a little scroll leads me somewhere else. Right. And then that looking the weather that takes 2 seconds would take 5 minutes because I was like, oh, Trump just blew someone up today or whatever. Yeah. And then I was like, crap. Okay. Now I got to do something else. So then I was like, all right, well, wait a second. How about I open up the Bible? So I was getting into the Psalms and then I was like, well, I still need to get ready. So how about I go ahead and use the Bible app and just play it? So especially this week.
Oh, like play the audio.
Yeah, play the audio. Yeah. I'm sorry. So this week as I was getting ready for Deuteronomy, the first thing I did every day is I would go find all of the stuff I needed to work out and I would play Deuteronomy 1. And then by the time I was finished reading, I'm putting reading in quotes with my fingers, reading or listening to Deuteronomy 1, I was ready for my workout. And then I went on to my study as I was studying for Deuteronomy. And I'm also finishing up Isaiah on the side. But I was ready for my workout. And then when I went and studied scripture later on, I was awake because of the workout. But I still gave God the first of my day as I dug into scripture. And I didn't look into the news first, or I didn't look into... the weather first. I mean, you know, I gave that first and then was ready.
And a lot of people ask, like, have asked me before, or I've read on that pesky internet, is it okay to listen to the Bible? Does it count? Like, we're checking some spiritual box somewhere to say, oh, my devotion counted today, but it doesn't count the other days because I didn't do it the prescribed way. The Bible very much was orally taught and orally memorized throughout even the New Testament. A lot of people did not know how to read, so they would go to the synagogue and sit and listen to it read to them. So yeah, by all means, if you've got that ability to listen to it, I guess we're going to the practical application here.
Oh yeah,
of not squandering your day. Get the which app do you use that lets you play your?
I think it's YouVersion.
Oh yeah, that's, you told me about.
Yeah,
it.
I think it's YouVersion, and I use that. Now the NIV will play it too, and it's got this really weird music behind it, and it freaks me out. But I like the ESV version anyway, and the ESV has maybe not the most entertaining guy, but he still reads through the Bible and.
It's not like the computer voice, like you.
No, it's not that bad. It's some guy that I think supposedly, you know, has. I don't know, maybe the deep, sexy, I'm a blah, blah, whatever.
In the beginning, God has created.
And then the NIV again has the weird, you know, music in the background as the guy's reading, and man, my ADD can't take it.
It adds a layer of cheese
it
when you put
does. It does. Oh my gosh. I tried it once just because I was reading. I'm doing that in quotes again. some of like Kings and stuff like that. And so I was like, well, maybe the NIV might have a good, interesting, you know, perspective. I'm not getting into the deep, deep, deep words. I just want to hear the story of it. And the music I couldn't do. So I was back in the ESV the next day.
Now, this is where if you are squandering your time, don't think, oh, my gosh, I've squandered my time. What can I do? Like, we just admitted to you that we squander our time. We are no less guilty than Israel in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
We are just blessed with the grace of God to say, hey, we've been squandering our time. We need to, you know, work out some different ways. Like, I think I told you I was reading. I have a 1.5-year-old, and basically what happens, I wake up, I go work out, I come back, and my wife goes and works out so that somebody's always at home with the kids. And so I'm usually feeding the baby because he's awake and wanting solid, you know, breakfast food at that time.
Not breastfeeding.
Yeah. He's actually 1.5. I keep calling him the baby. He's like a toddler now or whatever.
And I don't think Don ever breastfed.
No.
I hope not. And if he did, I don't want to know.
No.
Okay.
Doesn't work that way, Scott. That's a different podcast as well.
Oh, I tried that once, but that's a different podcast. Anyway!
As I was feeding him, I was reading Deuteronomy to him. And, like, it was kind of funny the way that, like, he was with me for, like, the first couple of verses. And after that, he started shaking his head no. Then he started getting grumpier. And then we taught him some baby signs. And he started signing, like, more food. Like, shut up, more food. Just quit reading. So he had to listen. I mean, that was the way I was trying to stop squandering. I'm like, otherwise, I would sit there feeding the baby while reading the news on my phone. So, I mean, and I'm saying that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
In some mornings, I still do that. So don't think that you're worthless or that you are the chief of sinners because of that. You're the chief of sinners for other reasons, just like Scott and I are the chief of sinners and Paul the Apostle was the chief of sinners. And, you know, there are none worse than us rebels that have turned our back on King Jesus. Know that you just have that ability to take that grace that God extends to you and that mercy extends to you and try not to be Israel at least a couple mornings a week. Try not to squander your time at least a few times a week and try and use it for purpose. They squander their time by not obeying God. That's pretty much what it is, by not filling themselves. And I've got a great note on being filled with God later. Second half of the chapter.
You know, the second half of the chapter's got some good stuff.
It's so full of awesome. But yeah, don't lose heart and don't come down to yourself and don't let that condemn you. Use that as a turning point, a teshuvah, a repentance, a point where you can say, hey, God, I've been squandering my time and I don't want to be like Israel wandering around in the wilderness. I want to use this time to honor you and then press forward and let God honor that request of yours. Mm. So, we just sermonized you. We get through verse 3, 40th day, Moses spoke with Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. So he's going to recap some things that we'll be going over. We're obviously going to go over what what Moses said to them. But in verse 4, it says, after he had defeated, and then we get through the names, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in and stuff like that. Some of that stuff is what we were talking about, those parallels to Numbers and other parts of the Old Testament where you can read about some of these prior battles and stuff like that. Did you have anything you wanted to share kind of deeper on 5? I don't think I really
No. Do. So if you want to figure out that battle at Sihon, that was actually, I think, Numbers 21 through 35. So if you want to look more into that's basically kind of the context or kind of the crossover from Numbers to Deuteronomy. So we're getting kind of an idea of, well here's kind of some of the final things that are beginning to happen in Numbers that will eventually lead us to Deuteronomy. As of 5, no, but we probably want to read at least 5 through 8 so that we can kind of see what's going on. They're in the wilderness, but Moses is about ready to give them a directive that's going to change our location. Do you want me to go ahead and read that?
Actually, let's go on ahead and end this episode here.
Okay.
And we'll pick up 5 through 8 on the next episode.
Okay.
And that way, we're sitting at 40 minutes. We gave some good stuff, some heavy stuff, hopefully some stuff to think about for our people. And with that, they can, you know, take this time to read those first few verses, meditate on them. And then, of course, they now know the homework is 5 through 8 for the next one.
And we might get into 9 through 18, so it just kind of depends because we'll be talking about some leadership, and it kind of gets into that. And if you really, really want to be, yeah, you can find out in 19 through the rest of it what happened in Numbers and how we have the potential to do it differently in Deuteronomy.
So your homework at this point is to read at least 1 through 4, meditate on that scripture. Think about some of the things we mentioned, like squandering your time, redeeming that time. How God's been providing for you as you've been in the wilderness. And then go ahead and read at least 5 through 8. But if you want to make sure we don't jump ahead, you might want to just read the rest of chapter 1. So with that, we will let you go. And until next time, may the peace of God reign on you.
Yeah. Is that how we want to end it? How do we want to end it?
I think that's a good way. Once again, we'll just babble until the music comes in and kicks us out.
All right. That's what we did the first time. All right. Good deal. All right.